Standing up. Always good for a laugh, that. Or piles. Granny Weatherwax said nothing. If fury were heat, her hat would have caught fire. Mind you, that'd probably make him worse, said Nanny, running to keep up. Same with toothache. She gave a sideways glance at Granny's twitching features. You needn't fret, she said. They didn't do anything much, but thanks anyway.
I ain't worried about you, Gaither Og, snapped Granny. I only came along because McGrath was fretting. What I say is, if a witch can't look after herself, she's got no business calling herself a witch.
McGrath done well with the woodwork, I thought.
Even in the grip of her sullen fury, Granny Weatherwax spared a nod.
She's coming along, she said.
She looked up and down the corridor and leaned closer to Nanny Og's ear.
I ain't going to give him the pleasure of saying it, she said. But he's got us beaten.
Well, I don't know, said Nanny. Our Jason and a few sharp lads could soon...
You saw some of his guards. They aren't the old sort. These are a tough kind.
We could give the boys just a bit of help.
It wouldn't work. People have to sort this thing out for themselves.
If you say so, Esme, said Nanny meekly.
I do. Magic's there to be ruled, not for ruling.
Nanny nodded and then, remembering a promise, reached down and picked up a fragment of stone from the rubble on the tunnel floor.
I thought you'd forgotten, said the ghost of the king by her ear.
Further down the passage, the fool was capering after McGrath. Can I see you again? He said.
Well,
I don't know, said McGrath, her heart singing a smug song. How about tonight? Said the fool.
Oh, no, said McGrath. I'm very busy tonight.
She had intended to curl up with a hot milk drink and Goody Wemper's notebooks on experimental astrology, but instinct told her that any suitor should have an uphill struggle put in front of him, just to make him keener. Tomorrow night, then? The fool persisted. I think I should be washing my hair. I could get Friday night free.
We do a lot of work at night, you see.
The afternoon, then? McGrath hesitated. Perhaps instinct had got it wrong.
Well, she said, about 2 o'clock in the meadow by the pond, all right?
Well,
see you there, then, all right?
Said the fool desperately.
Fool!
The Duchess's voice echoed along the passage and a look of terror crossed his face. I've got to go, he said. The meadow okay? I'll wear something so you recognise me, all right?
All right,
echoed McGrath, hypnotised by the sheer pressure of his persistence. She turned and ran after the other witches. There was pandemonium outside the castle. The crowd that had been there at Granny's arrival had grown considerably, and had flowed in through the now unguarded gateway and lapped around the keep. Civil disobedience was new to Loncra, but its inhabitants had already mastered some of its more elementary manifestations, viz., the jerking of rakes and sickles in the air with a simple up-and-down motions, accompanied by grimaces and cries of grrrr. Although a few citizens, who hadn't quite grasped the idea, were waving flags and cheering. Advanced students were already eyeing the more combustible buildings inside the walls. Several sellers of hot meat pies and sausages in a bun had appeared from nowhere. They always do, everywhere. No one sees them arrive. The logical explanation is that the franchise includes the stall, the paper hat, and a small gas-powered time machine. And we're doing a brisk trade. Pretty soon, someone was going to throw something. The three witches stood at the top of the steps that led to the keep's main door and surveyed the sea of faces.
There's our Jason, said Nanny happily. And Wayne, and Darren, and Kev, and Trev, and Nev.
I will remember their faces,
said Lord Felmet, emerging between them and putting a hand on their shoulders.
And do you see my archers on the walls?
I see them, said Granny grimly.
Then smile and wave, said the Duke, so that the people may know that all is well. After all, have you not